Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am here in the studio with LaRon and with the late Patty Fink, and welcome everybody to Lambda Weekly. Our guest today is Ken Lambrecht. He is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of North Texas. Let's just start off with Ken. Welcome, and
thank
how
you.
The hell does a gay man become the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood, which has to do with mostly women's reproductive rights? And let me just say ahead of time, just like Congress, where no women were allowed to speak, and just like on the morning talk shows on Sunday, where no women were interviewed, Patty.
I'm going to get everybody coffee. I'm going to take my shoes off and run.
I take mine with cream, two sugars.
And as long as she knows her place.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Rick Santorum will love you.
Yeah. Trying to comply.
This is going to be one of those shows.
It is.
Ken, how does a gay man become the president of Planned Parenthood?
Planned Parenthood, as a 75-year-old organization in North Texas, has celebrated individuality and personal expression. So to me, as a gay man, it's all about who you are and learning through science and education about your bodies and your sexual identity, as well as empowering those that are disenfranchised, those that need access to birth control, cancer screenings, and basic preventive health care. We believe health care is a right.
Well, Planned Parenthood has certainly been in this. I'm going to speak.
Yay.
Planned Parenthood has certainly been in the news, primarily for people trying to dump Planned Parenthood.
It's a shame.
It's really interesting to me that so many men have so many opinions about what women should do with their bodies.
I completely agree. And I would also say it's much like the bullying that many of us received as young gay people. You know, Planned Parenthood is being bullied, and those who partner with us are being bullied, like the Komen Foundation or Girl Scouts USA, both amazing organizations doing great work, but could cave to political pressure if we don't stand with them.
One of the things when this first happened, I really felt like some kinship to Planned Parenthood in this, even though no kids, no desire to have kids, nothing like that. But KNON had a partnership with Acorn, and Acorn's office was here with KNON. I don't think we're supposed to talk about that. But Acorn's office was here with KNON for
years,
for 25 years, yeah. Something like that. And of course, Acorn was bullied out of existence. The kinds of things that happened with Acorn nationally had nothing to do with our office. Our office here was all about helping people pay their electric bills and helping people get mortgages and keep their it was more keeping their mortgages. And they're gone. And it seemed like, well, we had a good success getting rid of Acorn. Let's do this to Planned Parenthood. I think what they didn't realize was so many people, because Acorn affected a small number of people, mostly disenfranchised poor people. How many women in this country, what percentage of women, have actually accessed services from Planned Parenthood?
1 in 5. So 1 in 5 American women have come to Planned Parenthood at some point in her life, and even more with friends. You know, teenagers and young adults travel in groups, so our patients are rarely alone. They have a partner and or a group of friends with them, or parents. 97% of Texas teens want their parents to talk to them about their bodies and about sexual health, and the vast majority of parents do. Those who don't, there are reasons in that family dynamic, and we try to help those individuals.
Well, part of the problem with this bullying of Planned Parenthood is the perpetuation of lies. Like, a lot of people think Planned Parenthood equals getting an abortion. That is a big misconception.
Absolutely. 97% of our services are preventive in nature: breast cancer screenings, cervical cancer screenings, more than 20,000 HIV tests last year. So we are a life-saving organization that empower women and empower disenfranchised individuals.
But shouldn't we let all those people die in order to save those abortions? In order to not have those abortions?
You know, in Texas, the legislature in 2005 forced separation upon us. So we actually have two separate legal entities in North Texas. Planned Parenthood of North Texas provides 84,000 people with a medical home for gynecology care, for sexual health care. Planned Parenthood Surgical Health Services of North Texas provides the vasectomy services, LEAP services, removal of abnormal cervical cells, colposcopies, and safe legal abortion care. But they're completely separate entities per state law and follow the letter of the law.
So if you're going to, Patty, you look like you keep wanting to ask a question.
I do.
Stop.
And I keep shutting me up.
This is none of your business. We're talking about women's reproductive health. Now, let the gay guys talk about this.
If you were in Congress.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Where are the women?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, one of the things that just chaps me no end, and as a woman, is this whole idea that you're either pro-life or pro-abortion. I have never in my life and have yet to meet anyone, male or female, but particularly female, who is, quote, pro-abortion.
I completely agree.
And that
agree.
Is just yeah, insane that they use that term.
Yes.
Well, and Planned Parenthood does more to prevent the need for abortion than any
yes,
organization in
exactly.
the United States through birth
exactly.
control access and scientifically based, medically accurate, non-judgmental education.
Mm-hmm. One of the best forms of birth control. Patty, have you ever gotten pregnant?
No, I have not.
Do you ever recommend to people that they should become lesbians?
We believe in individual identity and self-knowledge, so we would educate you about homosexuality, bisexuality, heterosexuality. The best way to avoid a pregnancy is abstinence. Next best is probably being a lesbian, unless it's a planned pregnancy. We know it would have to be.
I was going to say, lesbians can get pregnant.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of
they do.
Work really hard to get pregnant.
Yes,
look at LaRon. he had a baby.
Exactly, I had a baby.
Yeah, he was definitely a planned parent.
And the fact that we have two gay men on the show today that are fathers through artificial insemination and through adoption. So there are many ways that we can have wonderful families, and that's what Planned Parenthood supports. It's the most pro-family organization I've ever had the opportunity to work with.
And I think it's so compelling to me to have an organization there and out there available for young women and poor women and women who don't readily have, not necessarily even access to medical care, but transportation and all the things that come with it. Can they get follow-up meds? Can they come back? And you really foster that, that situation so that everybody can get their medical exams and have that pap smear and, you know, and all of that. And I just think it's insane to come down on you on any way, shape, or form.
Thank you.
About anything, because you're providing such a service that a lot of women would flat get nothing.
Well, and
if they didn't have you available.
The vast majority of our critics provide no health care at all. And I think that's very telling. When you look at who speaks out against Planned Parenthood, these aren't medical providers. They aren't the ones who are helping women and men and teens who earn less than $250 a week, who can barely, a typical Planned Parenthood client is an individual who's already a parent. It's somebody who is on Central Expressway driving home, the check engine light's on, the gas light's on, her mother's with the kids, and she has a vaginal infection, and she doesn't know where to go. And she comes to Planned Parenthood, she can walk in and receive treatment immediately. And subsidized by the incredible generosity of our donors throughout North Texas.
And that's the way, as it should be. I think that's a huge service.
Thank you.
Speaking as
Thank
a woman.
I was going to, speaking as a woman, what do you know about women's reproductive health? Us guys have to discuss this, and Congress got it right. First of all, as far as, I want to go back to the number of abortions, the number of adoptions that you provide
yes.
are a lot more than the number of abortions, first of all.
Actually, here in North Texas last year, we provided more prenatal and adoption referrals than we provided in safe legal abortion care. Mm-hmm. So that's absolutely
By
true.
By a lot.
I would say that each individual who comes to us, again, we base every service we provide on the best of science. We offer no judgment, so the GLBT community is welcomed. We are thrilled to have every individual of every creed walk into our health centers for services. And we provide care based upon what they need, and without judgment. So if an individual comes in and has a positive pregnancy test, we ask, how does that make them feel? And if they're excited about it, we're excited about it. And if they're scared, we ask why. And if they need a counselor, we refer to the YWCA with licensed professional counselors. We don't counsel, we educate at Planned Parenthood. If they need clergy, we have a robust clergy advisory group, lots of members of different faiths who have stood with Planned Parenthood for the 75 years we've been here in North Texas, and we provide resources for that individual to come to whatever choice they want to make, whether it's caring to term an adoption, caring to term in prenatal, or terminating a pregnancy.
So if somebody were to come to you who was pregnant and she said she was scared, and I would think that one of the things that a woman would be scared about is, can I give this baby the medical care that I need to give it through the pregnancy? Your answer to that is, well, sure you can, because we'll provide that.
We have partners throughout the community that we work with to provide prenatal care. So if an individual comes in and they're pregnant and they're excited, we're excited, and we schedule the appointment before they leave. We provide the first set of prenatal vitamins, and we send them to somebody who can ensure that they get the best medical care to ensure the best delivery. And we celebrate that with them.
It's so refreshing to hear you say, I had no idea that you all had, you know, clergy, you know, they're for different faiths to talk to these women if, in fact, they want to. Because, of course, we're not going to hear that in the news and in the press. But basically, it's, you know, Planned Parenthood is not a one-size-fits-all. You take individuals and treat them on an individual basis, and that's great.
Absolutely. And there are several faiths, Christian, Jewish, that support Planned Parenthood and have for years. We were founded almost 100 years ago in New York by Margaret Sanger, who also founded the term birth control and helped invest in the development of the birth control pill. Without Planned Parenthood, there would not be a birth control pill. And without our founder, the clergy involvement has been right by our side since the very beginning. A lot of our local organizations were founded in church basements.
Wow. Patty, do you know when birth control became legal in this country, throughout the country?
That was with Griswold v. Connecticut.
That's right. 1965.
Am I good or what?
You're impressive.
You're real
1965.
Good.
It's hard to believe that before that you could, you know, somehow have a criminal record, you know,
for
be arrested and fined or jailed because you, now you, that, know, that, you and your husband, or you and your boyfriend, or whoever, decided to use contraception.
Now, I love the history of Planned Parenthood here in Dallas. For anybody who knows, especially Oak Cliff people, if you've seen Ripley shirts over on Beckley Avenue, the daughter of the founder of Ripley Shirts was one of the founders of Planned Parenthood here.
Yes, Catherine Ripley. Catherine Ripley and a wonderful lady by the name of Gertrude Shelburne founded Planned Parenthood in Dallas in 1935.
And what did they do? They used the shirt boxes.
Yeah, absolutely. Catherine Ripley would send empty shirt boxes to New York, where Margaret Sanger would fill them with diaphragms, condoms, and literature, ship them back, smuggle them back into Dallas, where on Swiss Avenue in Gertrude Shelburne's home, they would invite all of their friends, all of their the women that worked with their friends, so housekeepers throughout the community, and talk about this is how you can plan your families.
So she was a neighbor of Harriet Earhart's.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's great.
Right.
Yeah, it's a wonderful history of helping women.
Yeah. Fascinating.
You know,
and men.
Yes, and men. And teens.
Because a lot of men are the ones who use the condoms.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you walk into a Planned Parenthood, that's hilarious. When you walk into a Planned Parenthood health center, you see men everywhere. Women come with their partners who are men. We have more than 5,000 of our clients, our patients each year are men.
Women come with their partners who are men.
Yes.
So how does that work?
Well, hello. No one at this table knows. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But based on science, we can explain it to you.
Okay. Yes. Yes. We'll do that off air.
Okay.
Well, you know, I grew up in Libya in North Africa, and a friend of my dad's was talking with a Libyan man who he and his wife had like 18 kids, and he's like, "Well, this has got to stop. I don't know how to make it stop."
Yes.
And so he says, "Well, you need to get some birth control pills." And so when he came back to the States on his R&R, he got a whole like a year supply of birth control pills and took them back and explained them to him and everything. And then he sees the guy like 2 or 3 months later, or 6 months later, and his wife's pregnant again. And he's like, "What happened?" And he goes, "Well, I've been taking them every day."
Oh, that's now, we are hopeful. We hope that someday soon there will be a male birth control pill.
Great.
Of course, there wasn't then.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
That is. So sometimes men need education.
Absolutely.
Yes. How it all works.
Which is why in Congress, it's the men who are discussing
this. Sure, they need to be making the decision for me and my kind.
And the coffee that you got us was very good. Now, it's kind of dirty in here. Would you mind vacuuming?
I'll mop to do anything you need.
Well, you know, on a serious note, talking about education, I don't know what's the percentage of teenagers you have that come to Planned Parenthood, but are they some of the ones who are really out of touch and just have no clue about STDs, how you really can and cannot get pregnant and so forth?
The vast majority of schools in Texas teach nothing but abstinence, and that's if they teach anything. They teach abstinence only, and if anything, they go on to talk about the failure rates of condoms and scare tactics, honestly. We believe in comprehensive sexuality education. We believe that abstinence is the best way to prevent a pregnancy. It's the best way to prevent a sexually transmitted infection. However, we recognize that by age 17, many people have chosen to become sexually active. And when they do so, they need to be empowered with fact. We believe that parents are the primary educator. And for most children, most teens, that's the case. So we have a robust parent education program to educate parents on how to talk often, to talk first, to seize every opportunity in the media to say, oh, look what happened on that show. Let's talk about that. And whether it's on the radio or turning on the TV, even on the Disney Channel, you see sexual innuendos.
Oh, yeah.
And
you do.
Exactly. And
Patty, listen to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The Disney Channel.
Teachable moments. My daughter, God bless her, on the way to school in the morning, 10 years old, she's like, Daddy, no, don't talk about that again. But she is the most well-educated person about how to protect her body and to know who she is.
Good,
And it's a matter of starting young and age-appropriate.
And what Laurent asked about how many teenagers come, I would think a number of parents who come from poorer households who can't afford other medical care, but are medically responsible, I would think even parents are bringing their teenage girls for their first gynecological exam to Planned Parenthood.
That's true. The vast majority of our patients are in their 20s, actually, between like 20 and 29. Mm-hmm. I'd say about 20% are younger than the age of 20. Many of them come with their parents. The vast majority, those who can, come with their parents, or they come in groups. They come as a group of teens.
And their parents are not taking them to Planned Parenthood to teach them to have sex.
No.
I mean, which is what the right wing would love us to believe. Yeah. They're bringing them there for a medical exam.
Absolutely, a medical exam. And if we teach anything, we teach responsibility. We teach you about your body. We teach empowerment. That in addition to the physical aspects of sex, there are emotions. Mm-hmm. And that individuals need to recognize that they need to be both physically ready, emotionally ready, and understand the decisions they're making. So we actually role play for abstinence.
One of my favorite stories in Florida was that before Jeb Bush was governor, the governor before him took the high school with the highest pregnancy rate in the state, put in, I don't know if it was Planned Parenthood, but it was some
comprehensive sexuality education program.
Well
said, because it's not coming out of the mouth.
Those words weren't coming out of my mouth. And the pregnancy rate dropped in that school tremendously. Jeb Bush came into office. Of course, we can't have that. Closed the clinic. The pregnancy rate in that school skyrocketed again.
We teach parents the science. We teach teens the science of their bodies. And we ask that the parents teach the morals of the family and the religious beliefs.
We need to take a break. We're talking to Ken Lambrecht. He is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of North Texas. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNON thanks Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions for their support of KNON. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions provides KNON all our copy services. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions sells, leases, rents, and services a full line of color and black and white Canon copiers with scanning, printing, and faxing capabilities. Bayer Imaging Copier Solutions offers wholesale packaging back to the consumer market in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Overstock, demo models, and used equipment with full warranty is available. For more information, 214-431-5191 or BEYERimaging.com.
Big Bill Morganfield, the son of blues legend Muddy Waters, is coming to Dallas to help KNON celebrate the 35th anniversary of Poor David's Pub during a big KNON Blues benefit event on Saturday, March 3rd. The amazing Big Bill Morganfield celebrates and honors his father with a deep Chicago blues style, telling his own stories through original songs with a wide variety of style, fiery slide guitar, and singing. Arrive early. There's free barbecue from Red Hot and Blue while it lasts. Joining Big Bill will be Jason Elmore and Hoodoo Witch, with special guest Cheryl Arena. Opening the show will be the Chris Watson Band, and Jason Elmore playing an acoustic set. Tickets are available now at KNON.org, all Red Hot and Blue locations, Bill's Records in Dallas, and Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie. Saturday, March 3rd, it's Big Bill Morganfield with Jason Elmore and Hoodoo Witch, Cheryl Arena, the Chris Watson Band, and a Jason Elmore acoustic set at Poor David's Pub. Don't forget the free barbecue from Red Hot and Blue. Poor David's Pub is located at 1313 South Lamar in Dallas. We'll see you there.
KNON thanks you for your pledge to our recent pledge drive. Now's the time to make your pledge count. Send your pledge to KNON, P.O. Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. If you missed our pledge drive, you can still support community radio by pledging on the web at KNON.org. Your pledge only counts if you pay it. KNON, Box 710909, Dallas, Texas 75371. Be sure to put the name of the show you're supporting on the check, money order, or the envelope. Questions about KNON's pledge drive, call 214-828-9500, extension 234.
This is Alex Hanselka, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas.
And the entertainment report.
All right, as the world awaits the official cause of death of Whitney Houston, more details are being revealed about Whitney's schedule of events the night she passed away, such as a scheduled photo session to be part of an anti-bullying campaign called Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Speak No Evil. It's a campaign to help end homophobic abuse and bullying. So, that's great to know that she was about to join that. This has been confirmed by Whitney's entertainment company. They talked to Advocate Magazine, but they wouldn't give a full interview at the time because they were too shaken up. So, still, this is still hard to believe she's gone. In a new interview in the latest issue of Details Magazine, Ricky Martin makes it clear that despite all the rumors that he and his boyfriend Carlos Gonzalez are supposed to tie the knot either in Spain or New York City, the couple is not thinking about marriage right now. Ricky says that everyone has been asking him when he's going to get married. He says people that he doesn't even know come up to him on the street are pushing for him to get married. Now, you know we have come a long way when people are pushing for a gay man to get married. So, yeah.
Well, they got
to
make him honest man.
Yes, yes. Well, when asked how the 40-year-old stays in shape, Ricky responded, "I'm a father of two toddlers, and lifting them is a workout. I also try to make love. That helps." So that's what I need to do, not the make love part, but that's what I need to do. I need to lift up Gabrielle more.
Yes, you do.
I need to pick her up more.
You do.
I still can't get rid of this baby.
Maybe you should chase her. I mean,
oh, I do that.
She's faster than you are.
She is. So did that help keep you in shape too?
Yeah, I'd like to think so, but instead I just finish whatever she doesn't eat on her plate. That's all. So I just eat more with the child. It's stress eating.
This Sunday is the Gay Super Bowl, better known as the Oscars. And a new study of the Academy Awards voters has found what many of us already know. The group is not very diverse. According to a study, 94% of the over 5,000 voting members of the Academy are white, and 77% are men. Blacks and Hispanics account for only 2% of the Academy. Questions about the Academy's diversity or lack thereof have persisted for years, and some critics believe the organization reinforces a lack of diversity that we see on screen. So,
now, normally we have Arnold Wayne Jones on, who is the lifestyles editor of Dallas Voice. We normally have him on before the Oscars.
Right.
Because our new schedule,
nonstop about the Oscars.
Well, and because
he's written a book about the Oscars,
and because we're on Wednesday morning instead of Sunday, just before we screwed up the date, so he'll be on next week.
Okay.
Now he'll be on to talk about why he was right and they were wrong. But here are Arnold's Oscar predictions for Best Picture, Director, Actor, The Artist.
Yeah, I think that's
what he's saying. Best actress, Meryl Streep.
No, Viola Davis. Viola Davis.
Okay, well,
you can argue
with him next week. And best supporting actor, Christopher Plummer from The Beginnings. And supporting...
Beginners.
And supporting actress, Octavia Spencer from The Help.
I think I agree with all of that.
Viola Davis.
Davis was great. I would love it if she won. But if you see... the Iron Lady. I mean, Meryl Streep is just fascinating. She's great.
I'm still going for Viola Davis.
So
I
don't know.
Last year I was on Annette Bening for every category.
And I was too.
Listeners may recall.
I was too.
But Viola Davis in every category this year.
Okay, now you were saying that 74% were white men who were talking about who vote on the Oscars?
94%. Only 77.
That's nothing. 100% of white men are talking about women's reproductive health, which is why we're not allowing Patty to join in this conversation. I don't know why it's her business.
You want some crumpets and tea?
Yeah, please.
We don't even have 30% of women in the U.S. Senate right now. It's a much smaller percentage.
And our guest today is Ken Lambrecht. He is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of North Texas. And as makes sense, a gay white man.
Absolutely.
Who's a father, along with Laron. But he didn't do it the old-fashioned way, the way Laron did, which involved,
yes.
You know...
Yes, we don't need to go to that.
Well, I did want to bring up something.
I'd say it.
Yeah, you would. I'd believe him. but one of the things that is so interesting to me is that all these men, especially men who are so allegedly celibate, that's what just really cracks me up. They're going to have and, you know, pontificate, literally, on what women should do with their bodies in every kind of situation. But what really kind of chaps me as well is, let's say we have a governor of a big state.
Who just announced he's thinking of running again.
Who speculates that maybe he'll run for governor again, who has extreme close ties with major pharmaceutical companies, and then decides that all 12-year-old girls in his state... Every one of them, by law, should have a vaccine against a cancer that only women get. So that's, to me, is just so contradictory about everything we've been hearing in the news the last recent weeks, that there's this, you know, it's this amazing intrusion and mandate from government, or the attempt to do so, and there wasn't a big hoopla about that necessarily with the same people. Mm-hmm. That's okay, but...
Well, there is a lot of hypocrisy in our government right now, especially among men thinking they should tell women what they can or can't do with their bodies, and men wanting to tell doctors how to practice medicine. So here in Texas, we have a governor who vetoed an anti-texting while driving because government shouldn't infringe on our personal life and our ability to text while we're on Central driving 70 miles an hour, which we don't recommend. At the same time, they mandated a vaginal probe, an invasive ultrasound, not the jelly on the belly, but a probe. And this isn't because it's medically best. In fact, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology says for a pregnancy that will carry to term, it actually could certainly damage or make it a more problematic pregnancy. So,
and many women around the country are vocally talking about this, you know, basically on shows hosted by women, I might add.
Well, we're not going to have you people on our shows.
But these transvaginal probes is actually a form of rape.
Yeah, you know,
by definition.
There are female congresspeople in the state of Virginia fighting this right now who are making those accusations. Yes.
It's non-consensual. You know,
and the standard of care, of course, is providing a sonogram or an ultrasound, same thing. So to have it mandated is to increase costs. It's to decrease access. It's putting a 24-hour waiting period between the actual ultrasound and the service. And the devil's in the details. It's requiring the physician who provides the surgical service to be the one doing the ultrasound. Nowhere else in medicine do you see the physician mandated 24 hours in advance to be in a specific room at a specific time. And it's all to increase cost and decrease access for poor women.
Because it's completely unnecessary. And what about this? It's completely unnecessary, medically necessary procedure. It's not at all necessary.
It's medically recommended, and it is the best standard of care. And Planned Parenthood's been doing ultrasounds for since Roe v. Wade passed in 73, prior to surgical services. We provide ultrasounds since the technology has existed since then. At the same time, it shouldn't be mandated with all sorts of other rules attached to it.
Oh, absolutely. Oh. But what about, like, very early pregnancies? I'm thinking, are they even, you know, paying attention here? Like, is that going to be required for, say, first trimester?
It is required now for all, yes, even for the provision of a medication abortion, so a medical pill that only a physician can provide, you still have to have the sonogram. So, and
even in cases of rape and incest and
yes,
all of those things.
There may be an exclusion for that now, but there were several versions of the bill before it was passed.
Wow.
So, again, it's another example of the state wanting to mandate explicit, very detailed ways of providing medical care, and at the same time, the state turning its back on 300,000 women for access to birth control, breast cancer screenings, and cervical cancer screenings. This legislature in Austin this year just totally just tore apart women's health care in Texas. And these are preventive visits. These are life-saving cancer screenings. They actually save costs. So an investment in birth control, $1 saves $4 in additional Medicaid costs. More than 56% of births in Texas are paid for by taxpayers, to the tune of more than $10,000 to $15,000 each. And it's just fiscally irresponsible of our legislature to legislate the way they have. And they truly are turning their back on good health and good public health. For ideology.
But they're pro-life.
They're pro-birth.
They're pro-birth.
Yeah, I wouldn't say pro-quality of life, because you can see that in everything from other early childhood programs in Texas and what else is stripped in education.
But isn't Texas also requiring that, you know, before men can have a vasectomy or, say, a prostate exam, they have to have a colonoscopy?
You know, it would be an interesting bill. In our male-dominated legislature, I doubt anything.
We could have a bunch of women come and talk about how great that would be.
I think that's a great idea.
Don't
a panel
think?
Of all women talking about men's health. You know, that would be so apropos for what's happening in Congress right now.
Did you hear about the legislator in Oklahoma who has tacked onto their personhood bill basically an Every Sperm is Sacred amendment?
Yes.
So that you're basically, you know, killing off a potential person, you know, at all times.
Did you hear the other one Oklahoma did this week? They introduced a reintroduction of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh, my.
In Oklahoma.
Crazy.
And amid all of that, a former guest on our show, State Representative Al McCaffrey, won a special election to the state Senate in Oklahoma and is now the first openly gay state senator in the state of Oklahoma.
That's
so
great.
He scored on House and now Senate.
What's so funny about his district? You could live in a part of his district where you have your gay state senator and Sally Kern as your representative.
Ouch.
So talk about extremes in that state. The Don't Ask, Don't Tell bill would have cost the state $300 million in funding for their state National Guard. So it got shelved.
But that's not the point.
Right, no. Exactly.
It never is the point. And that's the issue. You know, people have sent these legislative members to Austin and to D.C. to create jobs, to take care of the economy. And instead, they've gone as far right as possible on social issues. And it's absolutely just disgusting.
Speaking of going far right, one of the reasons that we were in touch had to do with the controversy with the Susan G. Komen Fund. And one thing you will not hear from Planned Parenthood is anything that isn't completely gracious. Despite the fact that their CEO in New York is Cecile Richards, who's Ann Richards' daughter, and you know that Ann would have had some choice words for Komen.
We wouldn't be able to prune them. Just my opinion, I miss her
so much. But Cecile was absolutely gracious. She was here last week and speaking about it. You and Komen have actually had a wonderful working relationship for years. They've provided thousands and thousands of dollars that have provided cancer screenings for women that have actually found women with cancer and saved their lives. You know, through the years, Komen While we know that the people who founded Komen are Republican, but that's been irrelevant through the years. I mean, it's just cancer is not a Republican or Democratic issue.
Absolutely. So. And health care shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Women's health care should not be politicized. It's not a political issue and should not be made such. The Nancy Brinker, the founder of Susan G. Komen, of course, was a Dallasite. She's left Dallas recently, but she was on the advisory council for Planned Parenthood North Texas. She is absolutely a supporter of a woman's right to choose and has been a supporter of access to cancer screenings and breast health exams, obviously, through our partnership with Komen Dallas and Komen North Texas and Collin and Denton counties. We have provided more than 1,700 women access to mammograms that they would not have had otherwise and diagnosed 10 cancers. We've saved 10 lives in the last 3 years because of our partnership with Komen.
One of the criticisms or one of the excuses that the right wing who is trying to pull your funding was using, they were saying, well, it's pass-through money, that you're not actually performing the mammograms, that the mammograms are being performed elsewhere, that you're getting the money, you're just passing it through. But that's normal. Most doctors don't have mammogram equipment in their own office because it's expensive, it's big, it takes up a lot of room. It's a specialized thing that you're not doing constantly. So normally mammograms are done by traveling mammogram units, right?
Yes, and we actually partner and have mobile mammography units come to many of our health centers where we facilitate the mammogram services. And the reality is our patients earn less than $250 to $300 a week, mm-hmm. and they can't afford the cost of the exams. So by coming to Planned Parenthood and receiving a voucher with Komen funds to have the mammogram, we're their introduction to healthcare. For many women, we're their only healthcare provider that they'll see in a given year, and we facilitate access to that mammogram. When we have found in North Texas, when we refer patients without sending the funding source with them to the provider, they get turned away.
And very often when you're talking about the pass-through, the mammogram unit, the mobile mammogram unit, is sometimes at your place.
In the parking lot.
In the parking lot. So it's not like you're sending them God knows where. It's like the mammogram unit is here. Come, here's the voucher, take it to them. And
truly, that's the best of healthcare. What we recognize is we're an entry point in the healthcare system for women who don't have access otherwise, for individuals without insurance who live paycheck to paycheck and have nowhere else to go. The vast majority of them, 1 in 5 in the United States, comes to Planned Parenthood. And we help them with all of their specialty care, referring when necessary, much like a gynecology office does for women who go there. Most gynecology offices are the primary care that women need.
And in fact, a lot of plans, you'll notice on healthcare and insurance plans around the country, a lot of plans will accommodate an OBGYN as a primary care physician if they, you know, they reside on that kind of a plan where you have a primary care provider and then you refer out to specialties. And OBGYN is fully considered a primary care physician. So that's, I think, a very wise thing.
It's
so fundamental to women's health.
I completely agree. And, you know, the vast majority of women spend approximately 5 years of their life trying to get pregnant if they want to have children and about 30 to 35 years trying to avoid pregnancy. So so we help individuals plan their families. If they want to get pregnant, we teach them how and when's the best time to conceive.
And in Patty's case, she just decided to be a lesbian.
I just woke up one day and said, that's for me.
That's for me. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffin. I'm here with the late Patty Fink. And our guest today is Ken Lambrecht, who's the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
The Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge Celebration begins Friday, March 2nd, with a ticketed fundraiser starring Lyle Lovett. Lyle Lovett will be performing new material from his latest CD, Release Me. Lyle Lovett and his large band performing live on the Calatrava Design Bridge. There will also be Calatrava-inspired costume performers, local food tastings from Trinity Grove celebrity chefs, drinks, DJ Lucy Rubel spinning bridge tunes, the a cappella Street Corner Symphony, fireworks, and the lighting of the bridge. Valet parking provided with tickets. For Friday night tickets or more information on the Saturday and Sunday events on the bridge, MHHBridgeCelebration.com. That's MHHBridgeCelebration.com.
Thursday nights are back in Dallas with the all-new Thursday Night Crunk Spot Club Mr. Biggs. Energy Promotions is proud to present the One World Party at Club Mr. Biggs every single Thursday. DJ Steez and DJ Magnum in the mix, hosted by Eddie G and Alex Spada. Gay, straight, lesbian, bi, everyone together partying Thursday night at Club Mr. Biggs.
10333 Technology Boulevard, Dallas. Doors open at 10 p.m. 18 and up at noon.
For details, 214-514-6596. Facebook keyword, Eddie G Promotions. Thursday night, Mr. Biggs. Keeping it live.
If you don't want your old SUV or other gas guzzler, the KNON Vehicle Donation Program can take it off your hands. Call us today at 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at KNON.org. Our representative will take all of your information and arrange a convenient time to pick up your vehicle. All it takes is a call to 877-KNON-AUTO and we'll create great programming from your old car, truck, or boat. 877-KNON-AUTO.
This is William. I listen to Lambley Weekly on Wednesdays at 7 a.m. on KNON on 89.3 FM.
And you're listening to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here with Patty Fink, and our guest today is Ken Lambrecht from Planned Parenthood of North Texas. Ken, one of the biggest threats really right now to, we're not talking about abortion, the discussion, if you want to call it that, has gone down to the level of access to birth control.
Yes.
And this has to do with the insurance coverage that some organizations are going to have to provide that will include birth control, and the bishops are fighting access right now to birth control.
Which is pretty shocking that that's what the conversation's coming down to, which we've known all along at Planned Parenthood what was under attack. Safe legal abortion care gets coverage in the media, and it absolutely is polarizing for the American people in many ways. Birth control, more than 98% of Catholic women use birth control at some point in their lives. 99% of women in the United States use birth control at some point in their lives, and it's shocking that this is the conversation that our elected officials are wanting to have right now about whether or not it's a fundamental right, whether or not it should be covered. And there are many running for office right now saying that it should not be, which is shocking to us.
Well, when you hear the whole package of, you know, don't have sex, absolutely don't have sex. We're not going to tell you how it all works, but we're, you know, don't have sex, and if you do, don't use any contraception. You know, that's bad. That's bad. You know, and if you do get pregnant, have the baby, and put it up for adoption. Even if you were raped by your dad, you know, have the baby, and then they're nowhere to be found. You know, absolutely nowhere to be found. And all of these messages hitting people are just nuts. When birth control, and you know what's really interesting to me is where is the discussion about the responsibility and routine birth control among men?
Mm-hmm. Right.
There is none.
Yeah.
So these men who are allegedly celibate sit up there and pontificate about what women should and shouldn't do and have no concept of responsibility on the part of any male. Mm-hmm. It's staggering.
Yeah. I agree that it's staggering, and we believe at Planned Parenthood that birth control is a fundamental right that women and families, because to get pregnant you need to, as you just pointed out, need to be able to plan and space their families. They need to choose the number of children they want. They need to know how soon they want a second pregnancy so that they can plan for these individuals.
And even somebody who wants a larger family, spacing your pregnancies out a little bit is going to allow you to have a healthier pregnancy. Your body has to recover from that.
Unless you're a Duggar.
Yeah. our founder, Margaret Sanger, founded us almost a century ago, almost 100 years ago, and the reason was because her mother had 18 pregnancies, 11 live births, died of tuberculosis, and Margaret Sanger believed her mother died because of the number and frequency of her pregnancies. And she believed that for women to be able to be productive members of society, to have jobs, to be able to go to college, they needed to be able to control their fertility and plan their families. And we are shocked that almost 100 years later, we're fighting the same fight, and that's just to keep access to birth control. And birth control without a copay, birth control prevents the need for abortion. It's that simple. When used effectively, birth control helps when women plan their families.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I certainly hope that, you know, especially these Catholic bishops who are so against all of this are also going to equally passionately protest against any coverage whatsoever for things like Cialis and Viagra and all of those things. Because, you know, why would you want to help someone, you know, have sex?
Well, and it's pretty amazing that that's not part of the dialogue, is it?
Yeah, yeah, it is amazing that it's not part of the dialogue. But I bet you it's covered. Which I bet you they get paid.
Which is why
they pay for that.
Which is why we're keeping women out of this discussion.
Right. You know, clearly. And it's so effective.
It is effective. Well, it was effective. But then you showed up at the studio today, Patty. It was supposed to be just us gay guys.
It's going to be a fine conversation.
It's supposed to be just us gay guys talking about women's
reproductive health care
rights.
That's right. Also on time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. See, you know, the earth and moon shall move.
Something like that. You know, if we were having this discussion in our office yesterday at Dallas Voice, and I'm doing a story on adoption.
Health?
No, on gays and lesbians who are adopting right now, and it's been very interesting that Child Protective Services in the state of Texas has been very supportive of gays and lesbians adopting, and in fact intervened in 2005 when the legislature wanted to pass some legislation to stop gays and lesbians from adopting.
Because if you're heterosexual, by virtue of that alone, you're a great parent.
Well,
and if you're gay, by virtue of that alone, you've got to be a terrible parent.
And
everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. But, you know, my point was that it's interesting that it's only straight people who are contributing to the problem of all of these kids who are homeless and need a place to live, and gay people are only contributing homes. We are absolutely not contributing to the problem of all of these kids. When you adopted,
yes.
How did you get your daughter?
We were friends of her family. My partner's best friend's sister actually is Samantha's biological mother, and we were approached to intervene. Samantha was part of Child Protective Services, and in the state system. And our experience was actually very good. The state, the social workers did a home study. Like they would any other couple. They interviewed both of us, all of our friends, all of our family, did surprise visits, and it remarkably proceeded. It took a calendar year, and in Texas, it's legal for two individuals, regardless of gender, to adopt the same child. You adopt as a second parent, but because of that, you pay twice the legal fees. You go sequentially, so you have to do one adoption, then the second. And it's much more onerous. You absolutely have to have chosen that you want a child to adopt as a gay man in Texas or a lesbian.
Super Planned Parenthood.
Yes, exactly. Super Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood.
But if you were to cross the border into Oklahoma and driving through, say, to Kansas or somewhere else, they would not recognize your adoption, even though you've been a family, you know, 10 years. It's like you don't exist.
You know, I travel with legal documents, and honestly, for the first decade, I'd say our daughter's 10, I traveled with legal documents, and we were careful not to travel to some states and some foreign countries. Yeah, isn't that something? It's sad to have to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what Planned Parenthood fights for every single day in relation to this conversation is equality. And that's why you asked earlier, why does a gay man work at Planned Parenthood? It's for equality. We know ourselves how these laws impact our lives and how they've impacted our lives since we were born, since we realized we were gay. And every single day we're fighting to empower women. We're fighting for the LGBT community to have access to health care without judgment, to have access to be parents and to be able to raise children if they choose to.
And let's bring this back to our community, because we haven't allowed Patty to speak this hour. But at Planned Parenthood, it isn't just access for sexually active heterosexual women.
No.
What are some of the services that somebody like Patty might want to access?
Well, for others that may be lesbian, we do breast health exams, more than 41,000 breast health exams last year.
Awesome.
Isn't that great? We also provide HIV testing and every testing and treatment for sexually transmitted infections. We do gynecology exams, male exams. We provide for the male communities. For men who are heterosexual, we do, or homosexual if you want it, we do vasectomy services. The latter might not need it as much. We provide a full range of reproductive health care. I like to think I've worked in every specialty of medicine as an administrator, so everything from orthopedics to pediatric oncology, cancer treatment for children. And what we are at Planned Parenthood is we're sexual health experts. We are reproductive health experts, but not everybody who comes to us wants to reproduce. And we are a gynecology office for individuals that may not have insurance and or just recognize that they'll receive non-judgmental care for the transgender community that may have female organs still.
Are you doing any sort of help for couples who, infertility help, for people who would like to get pregnant but can't?
We do basic natural infertility. We'll teach a woman about her body and a couple about their reproductive health options. If they want to conceive, we'll teach them about when in their cycle they're most likely to conceive. So much like I was raised Catholic, much like the Catholic Church prefers natural family planning, time it in the month and pray for the best.
This is when I don't talk.
Yeah, exactly. We do natural infertility. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe a core aspect of our mission is to help individuals who want to have children have them. So I do believe an area that we should look at expanding into the future is infertility, beyond natural infertility, to help couples get pregnant with medications. And
so you're not doing the artificial insemination or anything?
Not right
like
now.
That, right?
Yeah. But it absolutely is core to our mission, and we would help individuals know where to go for services. Mm-hmm. So again, we're much like a gynecology office is. A gynecology office that serves men too, though. Mm-hmm. And we'll, if we don't provide the direct care, we refer to other providers in the community.
So what services and counseling do you provide to men seeking vasectomy?
For men seeking vasectomy, we have surgical health services at our Greenville Avenue Health Center here in Dallas and in Tarrant County, and we would provide education. We would do the vasectomy surgical procedure itself and follow up sperm counts, and we would work with that individual to ensure that that's the best reproductive health option that they have. We also invest in and believe in robust research in reproductive health care. We're a leader in setting medical standards in reproductive health care. And with that, we would absolutely love to see male contraception at some point in the future. There are some interesting things going on in Europe right now in relation to male birth control pills.
So, interesting. Oh, really? Very interesting.
I hadn't heard about that. What
There are studies, and we actually, you know, there have been rumors for at least the 7 years I've been at Planned Parenthood that it's coming along, but they're further along in studies in Europe right now with male contraceptive pills than in the United States. But it's exciting to think that at some point down the road, we may have that option for men as well.
And you really think guys are going to take them?
You know, that's an interesting question. If not, you know, again, birth control pills only
there's
prevent...
There's some men in Libya that need some.
Yeah, per the earlier conversation. We know that they're not 100% effective. They're much more effective than not taking them in preventing pregnancy. What they don't do, though, is they don't protect from sexually transmitted infections. Right. And so it's important that you know your partner and know them well.
And another thing that these are these birth control pills and medications are taken by women is to help, you know, regulate a cycle,
yes,
control some hormonal imbalances that may be causing real medical issues for a woman or a young woman even. You know, ovarian cysts and lots of other treatments that birth control pills do, because it's really just hormonal control.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that can be applied to a lot of serious medical conditions that have nothing to do with trying to get pregnant or stopping pregnancy. It's really just to treat a medical condition.
And we recognize that Planned Parenthood birth control serves multiple functions because it is hormonal balancing for a lot of individuals who take them. And we believe that there should be access without a copay for women, regardless of their employer. Judgments of the employer shouldn't keep a woman from being able to protect their good health.
That's just radical.
It is. It is radical.
He wants people to be healthy. He thinks they should have access to health care. We let Patty talk on this show. Ken, will you come back?
Absolutely. Good. I'd be honored.
And we forgot to talk about Girl Scout cookies, but maybe we'll do that next week.
Would you like to mention something about Girl Scout
cookies? Well, there was a Republican congressman in Indiana who has basically said, you know, the Girl Scouts of America celebrating their 100 years. So they're a little bit older than Planned Parenthood. Or, you know, evil, destroying American values.
Just like you are.
Yeah, you know, and creating commie pinkos around the country and stuff, which just makes me want to double my order of Girl Scout cookies.
I think we all should double our orders of Girl Scout cookies, and we celebrate the Girl Scouts' mission of teaching girls about self-confidence and good decision-making.
Absolutely.
And we should absolutely buy their cookies, the Thin Mints.
Yes.
Ken, thanks for being with us. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week. Our guest will be Arnold Wayne Jones telling us why the Oscars were wrong.
Go Viola Davis.
Yeah.